Let's open up to Romans chapter number 10. And then we started reading in verse number 8. And we went down through verse number 10 and then 13, chapter 10, verse 13 and 14, and then verse 17. Let's read those verses again. It says, "What saith it?" Now, if you read the context, he's talking about in verse 6, the righteousness which is of faith speaks this way. What does it say? What does the righteousness of faith say? It's the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. Now, Paul's saying that he preached the gospel, if you read other places, and he preached the Lord Jesus Christ and him crucified. He preached the gospel and all that that meant about him being crucified, taking our place, identifying it with us so that we can be what he is and we can identify with him. But he also said, there's something else I preach. He said, I preach the word of faith, the word of faith which we preach. In other words, he's saying, I'm preaching God's side and what God did, and I'm preaching man's side and man's proper response to that, what Jesus did, what God did in Christ. And so he said, I preach both sides. And so no man has really finished preaching until he's preached what God did in Christ and then also man's proper response to that. It's necessary that we understand that there's a Godward side and a manward side to everything. And we need to preach both sides. If we preach one side, we'll get in a ditch in one side. If we preach without the other side. If we preach the other side but don't preach the gospel, then we get in a ditch on the other side. It's a combination. The Bible says we're laborers together with God. We're working together with God in bringing to pass everything God did in Christ. So he said, we preach not only the gospel, we preach the word of faith. And so what is the word of faith? It's the message of faith. And we're going to look at that again some more this morning. Now, he said in verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Then he said this again, verse number 10, for with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So notice, he said, this message of faith which we preach, this word of faith that we preach, it is the word of believing in your heart, and saying it with your mouth. In other words, he's talking about faith, believes, and speaks. And he said in Romans chapter 3 yesterday, just do a little recapping. Yet Romans 3, I believe in verse 27, he said there is a law called faith. In other words, not a law like the speed limit law, but the law like gravity. There's a spiritual law in the earth called faith. And it's in motion for every man on this planet right now. He's getting what he believes and what he speaks. Every man on this planet. If a man's not saved, it's because he hasn't believed on the Lord Jesus and spoken it and called him Lord, just like this verse says here in Romans 10. So there's a law, and that law's working for everybody, just like gravity works for everybody. Any man, regardless of his skin color, regardless of his weight, regardless of his size, how tall he is, how educated he is, how much money he is, how much money he has or doesn't have, he's getting this law of gravity to work. I mean, if he steps off of the roof of a building, he's going down. Doesn't matter if he's rich. Doesn't matter if he's tall. Doesn't matter if he's short. Doesn't matter if whatever. Doesn't matter. It's a law. It works for everybody. And in Romans 3, 27 says, there is a law in the earth called the law of faith. And Romans is telling us what that law is. It's believing and speaking. And we're to preach this. We're to preach the word of faith. To believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'll be saved whenever you confess him with your mouth. But see, here's the thing. This law of faith isn't limited to just salvation. In other words, just being born again. It's a universal law. Many Christians have used it in one area, like for salvation. Every Christian's received it for salvation or used it for salvation. But see, many of them haven't thought about using it in other areas of their life. When the Bible said, my God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory, you can use the law of faith and take that verse, use the law of faith, speak what he said, believe it in your heart, and it will begin to work for you. And we've got a whole lot of things we're going to go through this morning that you can apply this to. Now, let's look down here, and we'll see that Jesus applied this principle of the law of faith to anything that a man says in a few minutes. But let's look here in verse number 13 and 14, Romans 10. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he said, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? Then he said, how shall they believe in him of whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And then, of course, how shall they preach except they be sent? And then go down to verse number 17. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. All right, so here's how to get faith. Faith comes by hearing. And he said that's how, in verse number 14, that's how a man can believe. He has to hear what the Word of God says. And when he hears what the Word of God says, he can believe what the Word of God says. You can't believe beyond what you actually know. People say, I just believe the whole Bible. Well, tell me something specific you believe. I mean, if you're not shouting about it, you don't really believe it. I mean, you can say you believe something, but until you act on it and step out on it, it's just a heart faith. And the Bible calls that in James 2 a dead faith. And it'll do nothing. You have no more benefit out of a dead faith than you have of not having any faith at all. How many of you know the Bible said in James chapter number 2 there, the devils believe and tremble. I mean, you know, people that say, I believe the whole Bible. Well, so does the devil. How much benefit do you have more than the devils with just believing in your heart? No, he said, faith cometh by hearing, but that's not enough. Faith has got to be acted on. It's got to be released. And it's got to not just be in your heart, but in your mouth. And that's the law that he's talking about. And he said, faith comes by hearing. So when we preach the Word of God, preach the gospel, preach who we are in Christ, preach what Jesus did in his substitutionary work, his death, burial, and resurrection, and our union with him, we're raised with him, we're seated with him, we're crucified with him, all the things we are with him. When we believe that and speak it, we start ruling and reigning in life. Things start working different for us because we believed and we spoke. So that's what he's talking about. Now go over to Mark chapter number 11. We looked at this yesterday. These recordings are available, and you can get, we can't recap everything from yesterday, so we encourage you, if you weren't here yesterday, to get these and listen to them. But verse number 22, remember Jesus had cursed the fig tree, Mark 11, and verse 12 starts talking about it. He saw this fig tree, he saw the tree had leaves, but it didn't have any figs. He came to it to eat something, and it wasn't there, so he cursed it, and they went on into the city. And they came out, preached Jesus. Jesus preached that day, came out of the city. The next morning they came by the fig tree. And notice verse number 20, Mark 11, 20. In the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Now that roots means that started in the unseen realm. That as soon as Jesus cursed that fig tree, see, they walked by that fig tree the night before because Jesus preached in the city. They walked back out that same trail to go to where they were sleeping. And he walked right by that fig tree. Nobody said anything about it drying up. But Jesus, next morning, came by it, and Peter said, look, the fig tree you've cursed withered away. 24 hours. Somebody said, that's how long it took for the power to start working in that and for that curse to start working? No, it started in the roots where you couldn't see it. It started instantly. Just as soon as Jesus said it began. You couldn't see it for 24 hours, but it started immediately. And Jesus addresses that in verse 24. He said, when you pray, believe you receive. And then also you could say, when you say, believe you. So there's a release of faith when you pray. There's a release of faith when you say, and it starts working instantly. So let's read what he said. And he said, the fig tree you've cursed is withered away. Verse number 22. Jesus answering said unto them, I'm Jesus, I can do that. No, he said, have faith in God. He's talking to his disciples. And somebody say to your neighbor right there, if you're sitting there with somebody, say, he's talking to me too. He tells me to have faith in God. Then verily I say unto you, Jesus said, verse 23, whosoever, not just me, Jesus, I can do that, but he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart. Now I want you to notice, here's Jesus talking about the same universal spiritual law that Romans 10 talked about, and he says the exact same thing about this law. It's a believing in the heart and a saying with the mouth. Now, 2 Corinthians 4:13 says it. It says, we having the same spirit of faith, all believers, when they got born again, have this same kind of faith. We having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, we believed, and therefore have we spoken. Hallelujah. That's the universal law of faith. You believe a thing and you say it, it will come to pass. Now, Jesus again said, verily I say unto you, whosoever, verse 23 of Mark 11, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. Now notice this is not talking to God about something. I mean, we talk to God. The Bible calls it prayer. We talk with God. He talks to us. But this isn't talking to God. Verse 23 of Mark 11 is talking to the mountain. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain and shall not doubt in his heart, shall say, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass. So he believes that in his heart. Somebody said, I tried that and it didn't work. Well, it don't work by trying. It works by believing it and doing it. believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Well, I said it for 3 days and I didn't see anything. Well, you really hung in there, didn't you? No, you got to stay with it. I mean, you got to say it and stand. Having done all to stand, stand. You're not giving up because you don't see anything. Faith, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. In other words, we believe it, we said it, and we're standing on what we believed and what we said. We won't move from it. So Jesus said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain. See, faith will work talking to God. Verse 24, we're about to read, it's talking to God's prayer. Verse 23 is not talking to God, it's talking to the circumstances. And so he said, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, what's he believing? What's he saying? He's believing what he saith. Believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Circle whosoever in verse number 23, and circle whatsoever. So Jesus took this law and took it outside of the realm of God, and just operating for God or just working for God. We know it worked for God. God in the beginning said, let there be light, and it was. It came, there was light. So God's faith worked for him. Now Jesus demonstrated he had the God kind of faith. He said it to the fig tree. He cursed the fig tree. He believed it, and it came to pass. So there's God the Father. There's God the Son operating in the God kind of faith. And you know, the Bible says in Mark 11, 23, or verse 22, have faith in God. You know, the margin says, have the faith of God. So Jesus is saying, this is the God kind of faith, but he said it's not limited to just God using it, just God having it. He said, you, the understood subject in verse 22, is you have the faith of God. You have faith in God. The margin actually says, the faith of God, or the faith which God gives. Now, Ephesians 2, what is it? Verse number 8, I believe, says, by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Faith and salvation and grace, all of them, are a gift from God. They come from God. And we read in Romans chapter 10, verse number 3, verse 17, God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Excuse me, that's Romans 12, verse number 3. I'll get it right. God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. He dealt it. It came from him. And if it's not his kind, then he gave us a different kind than he had. But he didn't say that. He said, this is the God kind. I give you the God kind. This is a different kind than Thomas had. Thomas in chapter 20 of John said, unless I see, I won't believe. Jesus said, be not faithless, Thomas, but believing. See, faith, the human kind of faith doesn't believe until it sees, until it feels. The God kind of faith believes just because God said it. It takes what God said and says, I believe it, I say it, and it is mine. And that's the God kind of faith. And there's no seeing, you can't see anything. Jesus couldn't see anything but when he cursed that fig tree for a while. But he believed it. And he stood by it. He didn't even check to see if it was working when he walked by it that evening. He said, I got it. It's done. Don't even look at what you see. And so verse number 23 says, he believes what he says, shall not doubt in his heart, but believes, you could say, in his heart, that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's not a maybe. That's not a sometimes. You never can tell what God's going to do. He shall have whatsoever things he saith. Then verse 24, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Now, verse 23 is using faith in saying. It's not even talking to God, you're talking to the circumstance. The psalmist David said, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. He's not talking to God there, he's just saying who the Lord is to him. The Lord is my righteousness. Jesus is my healer. He provides all my needs. And those are statements of faith saying. And then you can say two devils, you can say two storms, you can speak two fevers. Jesus spoke to fevers. Jesus spoke to storms. Jesus spoke to dead men. He's talking not to God about the dead man, not about the storm, not about the fever. He's talking to the fever, to the storm, to the dead man. And he's declaring, saying, "Tell this is what you're going to do. I command you to do this." And he believed it in his heart, and it came to pass. So faith can be used in prayer. Faith can be used in saying who the Lord is to you. And faith can be used in addressing things, circumstances, even natural conditions, even fevers and diseases, even money. I talk to money all the time. It always comes to me. Amen. Somebody said, well, I can't get that to work for you. I tried it and it didn't work. Well, it don't work by trying. It works by doing it. You got to do it. Amen. So you can see faith can be released in prayer. Faith can be released in words by speaking words. See, when you pray, you're speaking words. But then when also whenever you're just speaking something, That's words, of course. Now, the thing about prayer is, even if you pray it, you still got to say it. In other words, when you pray and say, I believe, you do that verse 24, I believe that I receive right now when I pray, then you walk away there and you got to say what you believe you receive. In other words, when you pray it, then go ahead and say it too. You know, go ahead and say the same thing that agrees with what you pray. Because people sometimes they pray and then they walk away and say something other than what they prayed, or something other than what they said in prayer, or what they believed when they prayed. And then later they don't see it. Say, well, I prayed and I guess it didn't work. I guess God didn't hear me. I guess that's not going to change. See, you said it. I mean, you prayed it, but you said something different. See, your prayers and your saying have to agree. Amen. So we were talking about all this yesterday, and that's a brief recap. We were talking about, Romans, the 12th chapter. You can turn there. Verse number 3. It says there that Paul's talking to the church at Rome again. I'm going to turn there real quickly and read it again. Romans 12, verse 3, it says, I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but think soberly according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So that's you and me. We are to believe that God has actually given us, when we got born again, this measure of faith. Now, you can say that and be right in saying that. I have the measure of the God kind of faith. Now, it didn't say a measure, because if it said a measure, that could mean that me and Pastor Ike got one measure and you got a different measure. But that's not what it said. He's an equal opportunity God. He gives the measure. Everybody gets started out with the measure of faith. Now, what they do with it is up to them. Somebody can be given $1 million and waste it all and 3 weeks later not have anything. But somebody can take that $1 million, somebody else take that same $1 million and turn it into 50 or 100 million by the end of their lifetime. See, it's what you do with faith that determines how your life is going to turn out. So God started everybody out with an equal measure of faith, and he's dealt to us that in the new birth. Somebody said, how did he deal that to us? Well, faith comes by hearing. We read that. So whenever we heard the gospel, when we heard the message of Christ, faith came to us. When we acted on that faith, we were born again, recreated. Our spirit was made alive unto God, and we were created in righteousness and true holiness. And the Bible says that whenever we were created in righteousness, that we received the measure of faith. We received the love of God. We received the joy of the Lord. We received the peace that passes all understanding. We received a lot of things. But one thing we received was the measure of the God kind of faith. That's in your born again human spirit now. Amen. And you can begin to develop that. 2 Thessalonians, 1 verse number 3. It says there that the faith of the church of Thessalonica there, their faith was growing exceedingly. Amen. So you can grow that faith. You can begin to use it. How do you grow it? You begin to feed it on God's Word. See, the Word of God is faith food. You begin to feed it on God's Word, and then you begin to exercise it. You see something in the Bible, and Philemon 1:6 says that the communication or the faith we share in common, literally is what the Greek says, the faith we share in common with one another is developed, or it comes alive, active, through the acknowledging of every good thing that's in us in Christ Jesus. So we see something in the Bible, our mind will say, well, I know that's not true about me. You know, for example, the Bible says we're the righteousness of God in Christ. Well, we see that in the Bible and we say, oh, I know me. I've got a lot of mistakes and so forth. I'm not righteous. But see, he's not talking about your outward man. He's talking about your new nature and your spirit man. So you begin to say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ. Now, your own mind will say, no, that you don't say that. But see, now you're using faith to say that. You say it in faith because the Bible said it so. And so that's how you exercise this faith. You begin to acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. We're going to look at some of those things in a minute. But so we were talking about all this, and we spent much time on it. Let's back up a little bit, and we could spend a lot of time on that again. But let's back up a little bit and just go over to the 11th chapter of the book of Hebrews and just start looking at what faith actually is. We talk about faith. What does the Bible actually say it is? I mean, we want to talk about faith, what it is, how it comes. We've already looked how it comes. We want to talk about how to turn it loose. Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. All right? So then we know that faith is different than hope, isn't it? We know that faith is the substance of things hoped for. And one translation, this is the Amplified, says, now faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for. This is the Amplified. Being the proof of things we do not see. See, faith has some proof. Faith has some proof of things we do not see. Not of things we see. You're sitting on a chair right now, and you don't need to have faith. You know, if you're sitting in a room, you don't need to have faith that you have a chair because you can see that. You can see that. You don't have to have faith for things you can see. Faith is the proof or the evidence of things not seen, he said in the Amplified. The proof of things we do not see and the conviction of their reality. The conviction. I want you to see a couple of words. Number one, in this Amplified version, he mentioned the word assurance. The next word I want you to see is the proof of things, and then the conviction of their reality. Then he said in the Amplified, faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. So then faith has to do with what is not seen. Remember the Bible said in 2 Corinthians 5:7, we walk by faith, not by sight. So whenever you don't see something, now you need faith. When the Bible says something about you or says something about who you are, what you have, what you can do in Christ, then you have to, and it's not evident in your life, it's not something you've experienced, something that is seemingly your experience, then what you've got to do then is start mixing faith with it. You know, that's what he's talking about. Because it's the proof of that, those things. Now, the word here translated in the King James Version, faith is the substance. King James says faith is the substance. The word translated substance in the King James Version is translated in a couple of other places in the New Testament, confidence. Confidence. So we're going to look at some other words, some synonyms in the Bible for the word faith. There's a lot of people that talk about faith, but yet right on the other hand, they don't really know yet what it is. So let's look at what it is. It is the confidence, that's what the Greek actually says, the confidence of things hoped for. In other words, the word hope in the Bible doesn't mean hope like we say it. The word hope means expectation. It's the confidence of what you're expecting. All right? So let's say it that way. Faith is the confidence of things we're expecting. Then so the book of Hebrews says in the 10th chapter, the 35th verse, then he said, talking about faith, cast not away therefore your confidence. Don't cast away your confidence. Now, what does that mean? Don't cast away your confidence. Don't throw away what you believe. That's another synonym. We're going to look at some synonyms of the word faith or believe. So one of the words is confidence. If you want to know what faith is, it's confidence of something. You're confident of something. And so then Hebrews 3, verse number 11, or excuse me, verse 14 says the same thing. So that's one word that the Bible uses. I mean, if you understand some synonyms of some of these words we use, then you can know exactly what it is that we're talking about. When we talk about faith, we're talking about being confident about something, right? Another word is that the Bible uses is persuaded. The Bible says in the fourth chapter of Romans, the fourth chapter of the 25th, the 21st verse, it says that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. He's fully persuaded of that. Hallelujah. So what we find then is that another word for faith is persuasion. He's persuaded. So the word confidence is used. The word persuaded is used. Remember, Paul said in 2 Timothy 1:12, I am persuaded. I am persuaded that what I've committed to him, he's able to keep until that day. That's faith. He's talking about his faith. And then we can read in Acts 26, 28, the king that Paul was preaching to, he said, almost persuadest thou me to be a Christian. Amen. And so, I mean, almost isn't good enough, though. How many of you know you got to be fully persuaded of things? I mean, if you're only partly persuaded or almost persuaded, you're going to get a partly blessing and an almost blessing. You just won't get all the way there. And so, another word for confidence or faith is confidence. Another word is persuaded. Let's look at another word. It means you're sure. You're sure of something. Now, John 6:69, I believe it's 669, if I can read my writing here correctly, the apostle said, "We believe and are sure that you are the Son of God." See, he uses those words, believe and sure, interchangeably. So it means you're confident of something, means you're persuaded of something, and it means you're sure of something. Another word is conviction. Remember, we read that in the Amplified of Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the conviction of things that are not seen. And so that's another word. It means you're certain. You're not questioning it anymore. You know it. You're certain. And it means you're convinced. All these are words that are synonyms for faith. Now, it means you no more waver. You remember James chapter number 1, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. Remember that? But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Nothing wavering. What does that mean? In other words, you're not doubting. If you look up the word waver, you're not doubting. You're not. It literally means to differ. It means to argue. And so you're not arguing with what the Bible says anymore. Your heart's settled it. You've established it. You're sure. You're certain. You're persuaded. You're convinced. Amen. You're confident of what the Bible says. Now, see, you and my job is to just keep feeding on the Word of God until we are fully persuaded. Do you understand what I mean? Faith comes by hearing. And what you could say is confidence comes by hearing. I mean, being certain comes by hearing. I mean, being sure comes by hearing. Being persuaded comes by hearing. Somebody said, "I'm just not sure yet. You know, I know what he said, but yeah, but what about Job's boils and Paul's thorn? Yeah, but what about this? Yeah, but what about that?" See, yeah, but what abouts are doubts. We've got to get to the place where no more doubting, but we're certain about what the Word of God says. And the way you become certain is you just keep on feeding that word into your spirit until it washes out all the doubt, and you just rise up bold on the inside and say, "I know it's so. I know it's so." Amen. Now, it's the things that these things aren't really strong in you unless you're giving glory to God for them. People say, "Well, I just believe the Bible." Well, I haven't heard you giving glory to God for anything specifically in the Bible. You know, it's popular in our day, in our culture over here in the United States, Hollywood. "Oh, I believe the Bible." I mean, some of them don't believe the Bible, but some of them will say, "Yeah, I believe in God," and it's just a general belief. You know, they don't believe anything specific, but everything in general. I mean, if you say that shoebox right over there is God and he lives in it, well, I believe that. I mean, let me just break it down. They're just dumb. They don't know who God is. They don't have any. Really, a lot of times, this general faith isn't faith at all. I mean, you say something else to them, and they'll believe that too, and it's directly in contradiction to what they just said they believe. You understand what I'm talking about? I mean, you got to nail down something specific. What does the Bible say to me specifically? And we're going to look at some of these this morning. And you got to be established in every single one of them and take steps to get to the place you need to be, and we're going to look at that. So, when you're certain and you're sure, you're persuaded, you're confident, and you're in faith, that means you're bold. You no longer are timid. You no longer draw back. You no longer question. You're bold. And you're giving glory to God. Because it says in Romans 4:20 that Abraham was fully persuaded. And he gave glory to God. Amen? So you're really not sure and you're really not certain until you're glorifying God for that. Amen. If you're standing for healing, if you're not glorifying God for that, you're really not certain about that. But when you're certain, you're giving God glory. Amen. You're not wavering about it anymore. You're not questioning it anymore. Amen. So, this comes by hearing. You got to keep feeding the Word of God. See, your heart can be schooled into faith by just feeding on the Word of God. I mean, starve your doubts to death and feed your faith. Somebody said, "Well, do you know, down there at the church, they preach something other than the Bible." Well, get away from that. I mean, if I can just be so bold, if you're going to live by faith, if you're going to be successful in life, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith, if you're going to have victory, you're going to have to get someplace where they feed you the sure Word of God. And if you're a minister listening to me, you just need to boil down, what am I preaching? Am I preaching the Word of God? I mean, every sermon ought to have a label on the can, you know? I mean, how much percentage? You buy a can of beans or you buy something at the grocery store. I'm sure there in Nigeria, like here, it's got a label on the back and it'll say 50% protein, you know, whatever, and different percentages of fat and, you know, carbohydrates and so forth. And they got a label on the can. Well, every sermon needs a label on the can. It needs to say how much of this is theory. How much of this is our denominational ideas and religious traditions? How much of this is unbelief? How much of this is just the way I got it figured out? And how much of this is the truth? I mean, if you only have 10% truth and 90% of it's theory or your denomination's ideas or something of that nature, well, then faith is not going to come very strong to your people. And you're going to have a defeated people. You understand? So faith comes by hearing. You got to guard what you're going to hear if you're going to have this persuasion. There's certain things I don't allow in my ears. I just tune it out because I know that if I keep hearing something, I'm going to get faith for it. I'm going to become certain of it. And you want to have faith for the right thing, so you got to guard. Like Jesus said, take heed what you hear because you're going to get faith for what you hear. So faith comes by hearing. Amen. Now, faith doesn't come as a feeling and faith doesn't come as an emotion. People are waiting for the feelings of faith and the emotions of faith or the emotions that faith have come, and they're going to wait for the rest of their life because a lot of times that no feeling comes with the hearing of God's Word. A certainty, being sure, is something that forms on the inside of the spirit of a man, not the emotions. Faith is not of the head. Faith is not of the emotions. Faith is of the heart, and the heart is not the realm of emotions. The heart is the realm of your spirit, and it's the part of man that hears God. And so when you hear God, faith rises up on the inside of you. Amen? Now, there's two kinds of faith that we have record of in the Bible. There's the God kind. We read there in Mark 11, 23 or 22. And then there's the Thomas kind, or we could call it the human faith. Thomas's faith wouldn't believe unless it sees. So there's two kinds of faith. And then there's two kinds of unbelief. There's the kind of unbelief that people don't believe something just because they don't know about it. You realize if you don't know about it, you can't believe it. If I put $1 million in your bank account and you don't know about it, you can't believe that it's there. You can't believe that I put it there. You couldn't believe that you're a millionaire. You have no basis for believing that because you don't know about it. And see, people don't know about certain parts of the Bible, and so they have no basis for faith, and so their lack of knowledge is going to be causing them to be in unbelief. They won't believe it. The Bible talks about people that doubt because of unbelief. I mean, that doubt because they don't know, excuse me. Then the second kind of unbelief is people that do know, they've heard the Word of God, but they're just not persuaded of it. Israel heard that God had given them the Canaan's land, and he said, I'm going to drive out the enemy and so forth and so on, and they wouldn't be persuaded of it. They cried and they said, we can't. They've got giants in there, walled cities and everything. We can't do it. And they wouldn't be persuaded. And that kind of unbelief is called disobedience. And that'll get you in more trouble than just not knowing. Amen? I mean, when you know something and you don't step up to the plate, so to speak, and take on the faith of God and start standing for it, and rather than that, you just back off and disobey God, then you're going to get in trouble. So those are the two kinds of unbelief. Now, we got to get to something here. Let's look at Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6, because we talk about believing God, we talk about faith, and we talk about these things. But what are we supposed to believe? People say, well, I believe the Bible. Well, that's a big book. What part of it? What specifically? See, faith, in a lot of people's lives, faith is just too general. Faith is a general faith is not usually faith at all when you actually examine it. And so what are we supposed to believe? Now, I want to read some things here in Hebrews 11, 6, but I want you, and this will give us some things that we're to believe, but I want you to think about another verse before we read this. In fact, I don't know, maybe you want to go there. It's the fourth chapter of the book of Romans, the fourth chapter. And I want you to read with me, maybe just hold your place there in Hebrews. Let's go back to the fourth chapter of the book of Romans and look at verse number 12. By the way, the Bible calls Abraham, and actually this chapter three or four times, calls Abraham the father of faith, the father of them that believe God. Amen. That we're the seed of Abraham, and we're like Abraham, we believe God. And so he said here that we're to walk, and this is the fourth chapter of Romans, the 12th verse, the father of circumcision, Abraham's the father of circumcision, to them who are not of the circumcision only, but also who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had, being yet uncircumcised. Now, notice that this verse talks about Abraham taking steps of faith. In other words, there were things God said to him that progressively caused him to progress forward in what he believed. You realize what I'm talking about? So when he would take steps of faith, he took those steps by God saying something to him and then saying something more to him and then saying something more to him. And a lot of people want to get to having the miracle they need, but they're not taking some steps of faith. They say, well, you know, for example, they're needing healing. They'll say, well, I believe. Well, what do you believe? Well, I believe God's able. Well, that's good. That's one thing that the Bible says about God. He's able. But you can believe God's able for the rest of your life and die sick and never be healed. Notice what it says here in Hebrews chapter number 11, verse number 6. He said, but without faith, that's what we're preaching this morning, without this faith, it's impossible to please Him. That's why I said if you're not preaching faith, you're not preaching the Bible. You got to preach faith. You can't please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Not because He's hard to please. It's because He has so much He wants to do for you, and without faith, He can't do it. Because we got to cooperate with God. He longs to do so many things. But He said, without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now notice, he that cometh to God must believe. What must he believe? Well, first one he said, believe that he is. Believe that he is. Believe that he is. Well, what does that mean, believe that he is? Well, we believe that he exists would be one thing. Believe that God exists. Well, I believe God exists then. That's what I believe. Well, the Bible says he does. But see, what else does believe that he is means? Believe that he is means is present tense, not past tense. Isn't that right? I mean, God was, he did exist centuries ago, but he also exists today. Believe that he not, in other words, it's the opposite of believe that he was. Believe that he was. So God exists, number one. God is today, not just was. Number three. God is what you need. Do you have anything? Do you have anything to base your faith on for what you need right now? Well, somebody said, I got a verse here that says, He supplies all my need. Well, that's kind of general. The context of that is actually finances. But what if you're needing healing? Well, what verses do you have that He is, get this, your healer? Do you have any verses like that? Well, you sure do. But see, if you can't quote them to me, you don't know that. And you're not sure. Amen. Now remember this. We gotta think about something. Remember, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the substance. In other words, if you look up that word substance, it means that which stands under and makes sure. And like I said, it's translated in the New Testament, confidence. But it really literally means that which stands under and makes sure or makes certain or makes confident. And literally then, the next definition is foundation. Literally, that's what that Greek word means. It's the foundation. In other words, it's that which stands under and makes certain. It's that which stands under, and it's the foundation for you being certain. Now, that just simply means you can't just pull something out of the air and say, I'm going to believe it. You can't do that. You can't do that. You could say, I'm just going to pull out of the air and believe that Pastor Ike's going to give me $100,000. I'm just going to believe that. You can't do that. Somebody said, yes, I can. No, you can't. Because faith or certainty, now that we're talking about faith in a man now, of course, as opposed to faith in God, but faith is based on some evidence. You got to have evidence. That's what stands under and makes you sure or makes you certain that it's so. Now, if Pastor Ike came to you after this broadcast and said, I just want to let you know I put 100,000 United States U.S. dollars in your bank account this morning, and I just wanted you to know about it. Well, now do you have anything to base your confidence on that you now have $100,000? Do you? Sure you do. What do you have? What are you basing it on? You're basing it on His Word. You're basing it on what He said. And you're basing it on the fact you believe He's a man of His Word. He's a man of character, and if He said it, He did it. If He didn't say it, He didn't do it. And if He said He did it and didn't do it, He's a liar. But you don't believe He's a liar. You believe He's a man of God. And so if He said, I did it, now he didn't say He did it, so you can't have faith for it. But if He said He did it, if He said He did it, and He's a man of His Word, and He's a man of faithful, He's a faithful man, He's a man of integrity, which we know God is. If God said it, the Bible said God can't lie. And this Word is Him talking to us. And so if He said it in His Word, He can't lie. And when you get that Word in your spirit and you believe that, that's your foundation right there. Now your faith has something to hold it up. Now you didn't just pull something out of the air and say, I'm going to believe it about God. You actually have some evidence in His Word that He said He's that to you. You know, whenever He said, I am the Lord. This is the Old Testament, but it's brought into the New Testament because Jesus, the Bible said so. I am the Lord that healeth thee. That's the Hebrew, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am your healer. I take your sicknesses and bear your diseases, the New Testament said. By His stripes we're healed, the New Testament said. That's God's Word speaking to me. There's your foundation. Now you got something to hold your faith up. Otherwise, your faith is just suspended in air with nothing to hold it up, and it just drop. Isn't that right? See, that's what it means to have certainty. You can't just be certain of something you don't have evidence for. You understand? So whenever the Bible said faith is that is the substance, it means faith is that which stands under and makes you certain. The faith has to have the Word of God. God, you have to have something that God said to you. Now, we understand, of course, the written Word of God is God speaking to all of us, but sometimes God speaks some specific things to our spirits by the Holy Spirit, but it's all in line with the written Word of God, and then we put our faith in that. We put our faith in God spoke this to my spirit. Now, if people make things up and say God said something and didn't say it, and it doesn't work, you know. And so we just have to all say, well, that wasn't God that said that. But yet, right on the other hand, those things do happen where God says things to people's spirit. But what I want you to see here is you got to have some things... You got to have something to base your faith on. Now, let me say this. We see here that one of the things we got to believe is Hebrews 11:6, believe that He is. Believe that He exists. Believe that He is means He exists. And then number two, He is means he not just was, but He is now. Amen. And then believe that as God, as He is. Amen. He is what you need, but you have to have evidence for that. Now, you have to believe that He not only was the healer, but that He is the healer. You remember the Bible said that God called Himself over in the Old Testament, I am that I am. I am that I am. If He said something in His Word, then you say, God, I need this. If based on your word, you said that you are that to me. And He'll answer this to you. I am that I am. I am. He is what you need because you found a word, you found a scripture for it. I need healing. He'll say, I am that I am. I need deliverance. I am that I am. I need wisdom. I need strength. I need provision. I need some direction. I am the Lord your shepherd. I am the Lord. I change not. Amen. And so there are things that when the Bible says He is, you got to believe that you got to have verses that show you who He is. He is my healer. See, I received Jesus as Savior from my sins, and I received the new birth when I was 10 years old. But it was way over until I was about 18 years old until I received Him as my healer, 18 or 19 years old. And that's whenever I started receiving healing. Because I found out He's not just my Savior, He's my healer. Amen. And I began to find out everything He was. And then the Bible said, Psalmist David said, I say of the Lord, He is my refuge. He is this. He is. Anything you find in the Word, that's who He is. Start believing that and start saying that. And rather than going around and saying, well, I just never have enough money, go around saying, he's my shepherd. He's the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And so he is my shepherd. He provides all my needs according to his riches in glory. See, that's faith because it's built on something that God said, which is the evidence that holds your faith up. It makes you sure. And you feed that into your spirit. Now, I don't know about you. I'm preaching myself happy. Glory to God. Now, when it says believe that he is, believe that God exists, believe not that he was, but that he is, and he is what you need because you got verses for it. And believe that the second part of this says believe that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Say that out loud. He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, what does that mean? He is a rewarder. Well, he rewards those that diligently seek him. If you look up the word rewarder, it means basically he's a giver. You got to believe he's a giver. Now, there's a lot of Christians that believe that whenever they go to God, that sometimes he says yes, sometimes no, sometimes he said maybe, sometimes said wait a while. You never can tell what God's going to do. Well, if you got verses in his word that say who he is, then you can tell exactly what he's going to do. And he's going to give it. Now, there's three verses you need to have in your spiritual arsenal to build this faith step into your spirit. There's three verses that talk about God as a giver, and it talks about what kind of giver he is. First of all, it says in Romans chapter number 8, I don't know if you've ever read these verses, I think maybe you have, but Romans 8, just real quickly, I don't want to take a lot of time here, but write these verses down. It says about God in Romans 8, talking about, remember he said, what shall we say to these things? God before us, who can be against us? Then notice what it says in verse number 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not also with him freely give us all things? Say that out loud. Now that's Romans 8, verse number 32. He freely gives us all things. Now, this is talking about God being a giver. Remember, it said we must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder. That means a giver. In other words, he's not a withholder. Whenever you come to him for what he said, you found in his word that he is this to you. When you find that and you go to him to receive it, he's a giver of it. He doesn't withhold. He doesn't say, well, you know, I'll just come back tomorrow and we'll talk about it. I don't know. You know, no, he's all the promises of God are in him. Yes. And amen. Amen means so be it. In other words, it doesn't mean tomorrow. It means be it right now. Glory to God. Yes, the answer is yes. You got to become convinced of that right now. So believe that he is. Believe that he's a rewarder. Believe that he gives. And then notice Romans how it says he gives. He freely gives us. He freely gives us. Woohoo! Glory to God. In other words, he doesn't reluctantly give it. You don't have to twist his arm to get him to give it. You don't have to promise him you'll do better to get him to give it. In fact, to be honest with you, a lot of things he said in his word, he's already given to you. And so believe that he said he freely gives us all things. So when we talk about the giving nature of God, you got to believe that he gives freely. And then the second one, the Bible talks about in 1 Timothy. Just write this down also. This is a verse you need to get a hold of. 1 Timothy chapter number 6. And verse number 17, charge them that are rich in this world, they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly, richly, all things to enjoy. So number one, we found he gives freely. Number two, we found he gives richly. In other words, he doesn't give stingily. Amen? He gives richly. And then the third one over in the book of James, the first chapter, I want you to write these verses down. Get a hold of these. Feed these into your spirit because the devil will lie to you about the giving nature of God. You'll believe you receive and go a day or 3 days, a week, and don't see anything, and you think, well, God didn't give it. It's hard to get things from God, you know. No, you're believing a lie. See, we got to believe that he is and that he is a giver. He's a rewarder. So then we've got James chapter number 1. Notice he said, anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally. Giveth all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. So we've got God who gives freely, we've got God that gives richly, and we've got God who gives liberally. That's what you got to believe. Don't believe you didn't receive. Don't believe God said no. Don't believe God said maybe. Don't believe God said wait a while. Don't believe all those lies. Believe that you receive. Believe because you gave. He gave. Amen. All right, so that's the second thing. Now, another thing we've got to believe, go over to Matthew. Let's see here. Actually, it's Mark. Mark chapter number 11. Mark chapter 11, verse number 24. Mark chapter 11, verse 24. I'm preaching myself happy. I trust you're getting some things out of this. Mark 11, we read that verse a moment ago. Mark chapter number 11, verse number 24. Mark 11. We said there, it says, "What things soever, therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them." Believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Now, there's something to believe. But before we get to that, we've got to believe something back in 1 John. I meant to go to 1 John before I came here. Let's back up here, because what are we doing? We're taking steps. Remember, Abraham took steps of faith? People say, "Well, I believe." Well, what do you believe? You got to believe certain things, not something in general, but something specific. Let me go over here to 1 John chapter number 5, verse number 14 and 15. "This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." According to His will. Ask anything. What are you asking for? Something according to His will. "Well, Pastor Jay, that's the problem. I just don't know what His will is." Well, if you got His word, you got His will. I mean, if you as a parent tell your children something that you're going to do for them, that's your will, isn't it? Whenever you say something, that's your will. And you wouldn't say it if it wasn't your will. Amen. And so God said here, "This is the confidence we have in Him, and if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." So we could say if we ask anything according to His word, if it's in line with His word, because His word is His will. Amen. Now, you have to believe that it's God's will, because you remember the leper came to Jesus in Matthew chapter number, what is that? Matthew chapter number 1, I believe. And he said, "If thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." In other words, this man believed that God could, but he wasn't sure if it was His will. And what does that do? See, faith is not just based on knowing what God can do, but knowing that He is willing, that He's willing, that He will, that He gives. He's a free giver. It's His will that we have this. He's not a withholder. He's not stingy. You don't have to twist His arm. You don't have to talk Him into it. I mean, the Lord is gracious, the Bible said. The word gracious means disposed. He's leaning that way already to show favors. I mean, that's God. He's gracious, and He's willing. If it's in His word, He's willing. The Bible said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all His benefits, forgiveth all thy iniquities, healeth all thy diseases." He's willing to heal all. Amen. Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Why? Because He's willing to heal. Amen. People say, "Well, I tried that and it didn't work." Well, it wasn't because of God's end. I mean, you there was adjustments needed to be made on your end, some believing, some adjustments that need to be made in your believing. And so this is the confidence that we have in Him. We ask anything according to His will. According to His will. What happens if we ask according to His will? What's the next words? John 5:14. He heareth us. Oh, so there's something else we've got to believe. We've got to believe that He hears us. Now, verse 14, let's read verse 15, then we'll come back. "And if we know that He hears us, whatsoever we ask." See, notice verse 14 states a fact that if we ask according to His will, He does hear us. In all reality, verse 14 doesn't tell you or instruct you or I to believe that. He's stating a fact. Here's how you get God to hear you. You ask according to His will. Automatic. He hears you. Now, verse 15 says, "If we know that He hears." See, He can hear you and you not know it. You can hear it. I mean, God can hear you and you don't believe it because, "Well, I just don't have goosebumps. You know, I just don't feel like it. Just don't feel like God heard me." People say that all the time. "I just don't feel like God heard me." Well, what's feeling have to do with it? He's stating a fact in verse number 14. You ask according to His will. You heard. I mean, He heard you. It doesn't matter if you have a goosebump or no goosebumps. It doesn't matter if there was a choir sang out of heaven or no choir sang out of heaven. It doesn't matter if there was a lightning bolt struck you when you prayed or no lightning bolt. It doesn't matter if you feel worse than you've ever felt. He heard you no matter what. That's what the Bible said. You got to believe that. And then He said, if you know that He heard you, whatsoever we ask, we know We know, see, these no words are sure words. They're words of certainty. Hallelujah. If we know that he hears us whatsoever we ask, we know. We're sure. We're certain. We're persuaded that we have the petitions that we desired, past tense, of him. We used to desire them. Now we have them. Woo! Glory to God. How'd we get them? How'd we get them? Do I have to look and see? Oh, yep, look, I got it. My body's healed. No, he said, you know you have it because you know he heard you. What does that mean? If it was his will and you ask according to his will and you know then that he heard you, now you've got another knowing. You got another knowing, and this is something you need to be well established in, that the answer is always yes. All the promises of God are yes and amen. In other words, there's never a no on what he said in his word. Never, 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 never. I mean, the Bible said our gospel is not yes and no. Remember that? Paul said that. No, it's yes. All the promises of God are yes and amen. Amen means so be it. So when God came in Christ and secured the work of salvation and redemption for us, he made everything that he had promised to the Old Testament people to do, he made it a be it. It's no longer a promise, it's a be it. And faith is just something to come to lay hold of what be. You're just saying, I believe, I receive what he said he is, who he said he is, what he said he did. He said by his stripes, I was healed, past tense. I believe I receive it, so now I am. I did desire in the past to be healed. Now I believe I am healed. I know that I have the petition that I desired of him. Now, you can go over to Mark 11, 24 again, and we see this statement. He said, what things soever you desire, when you pray, what do? Believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Isn't that right? Believe that you receive. Now, this is the one that separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. People believe God exists. Believe God can. They might even get to the place they believe God is willing. It's his will. They might get to the place they believe he hears them or something like that. But see, did you get it when you prayed? Did you get it? Well, I don't know. It doesn't look like it. I checked my body and it doesn't look like it. Well, see, that's the next step of this progression of faith that you have to develop a faith in. You understand? You have to become certain that he is, certain that it's his will, certain that he's not just was that, but he is. And all these certainties, all these persuasions build up to one final ultimate climax of believing that I receive, I got it now. I believe I am well. I believe I am healed. I believe I am free. I believe I am delivered. I believe I have my needs met. I believe it's done. The Bible said when you pray, here Mark 11, 24, this is the climax. Believe that you receive. And what did he say? You shall have. Amen. You shall have. Hallelujah. Now, Brother Hagin is a man many of you have heard of. He's a minister that God raised up over here in the United States. And he went on to heaven back in 2003. God made him a spiritual father in my life. And he had a Bible school. We came up in his Bible school and learned so many things from him. But one thing that I learned so much from was his testimony of healing. And his testimony of healing, he was on his deathbed at the age of 15, back there years ago, back in the 30s, you know, early 30s and late 20s, actually. But he said, you know, he had three incurable diseases. He had an incurable blood disease, a heart condition, and partial paralysis. And the doctor said no one has been in this condition, has lived past the age of, I think they said 16 or 17. And he's up there getting to the age of 16, you know, and he's on his deathbed. He had been having heart attacks almost daily, I think three, four, five times a day, actually. And there were times he felt himself leaving his body, and he said he wore the varnish off the bedpost, holding on to the bedpost, trying to live, trying to stay alive. And he said because of those heart attacks. But anyway, God started showing him. He first of all, he wasn't saved, and then he got saved. He actually died and started going to hell, and a voice from heaven spoke, and he came back up out of there, and he got saved. He started calling on the name of the Lord and was saved. And then he started reading his Bible, and he got over there to the, Mark 11, 23 and 24, which verses we've looked at. And he said, I'm just making a long story short here, but he said he read that, believe that you receive when you pray. And he said he saw that, and he saw that, to back up, actually the Lord took him through a progression of showing him that healing was still for today, that Jesus is still the healer. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You have any sick among you, let them call for the elders of the church, you know. And so we see these things in the Bible. And so he's saying, Brother Hagin is saying, well, I see it's God's will that I be healed. I see whatever things I desire when I pray, I'm to believe that I'm to receive it. And he said, so he prayed and believed it was God's will, prayed, believed God was still the healer, and believed that God it was God's will. And then he said he checked his body to see if whenever he prayed, if he got anything, and he still was paralyzed, his heart was still beating, you know, he'd feel his heart, his heart still beating irregularly. And he'd start crying and say, well, I guess I didn't get it. I guess I didn't get it. And he started crying, and he said, the Lord spoke to him and said, and actually he told the Lord, he said, Lord, you know I do believe. I do believe. I do believe. I'm sure. And the Lord spoke back to him and said, yes, you do believe as far as you know. See, he's still sick, but he only believed as far as he knew. There's a man in Acts 14, a man healed in Acts chapter 14, verse 6, 7, 8, down and through there. The Bible said he was crippled from his mother's womb, never had walked. He heard Paul preach. He heard Paul preach. And the verses before said Paul was preaching the gospel. He heard Paul preach. And Paul looked at the man and steadfastly beheld him and perceived that he had faith to be healed. Now get that. Here's a man sitting on crippled legs, had been crippled all his life. This is Acts 14, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, down and through there. Been crippled all his life, and he's hearing Paul preach, and while he's, remember, faith comes by hearing, he heard Paul preach and got faith, because the Bible said, Paul looked at him and said, this man has faith to be healed. And yet right at that time, although he had faith to be healed, he's still sitting on crippled legs. Now, is that possible? Could you have faith to be healed and still sit on crippled legs or still have a sickness or a disease? Absolutely. And that's what Jesus was saying to Brother Hagin. He said, because he told Brother Hagin told Jesus, he said, well, I do believe. He said, yeah, you do as far as you know. See, he believed it was his will. He believed that God wanted to do it. And then he'd pray, because he read Mark 11, 24, and he'd pray, and then he'd check his body to see if he had received. And he said, well, Father, I do believe. And God said, no, you only believe as far as you know. In other words, there's further believing you have to do here. And that man in Acts chapter number 14, he believed certain things, but he didn't believe far enough. Remember Romans 4:12? Steps of faith. Steps of faith. Steps of faith. There are people that believe, they just haven't gone far enough. You understand? And so Jesus kept helping Brother Hagin to get to that understanding of Mark 11, 24, believe. When you pray, believe you receive them. You won't see that you see it. You have to believe it before you see it. Believe. Don't check your body to see if, well, it doesn't look like I got anything. He said, believe you receive. And the Lord said, when will you see that you're received? You'll see it after you believe it. You have to believe before you see. Believe you got it before you see. This is simple. But right here is where a lot of Christians miss it. And so Brother Hagin finally released his faith, said, I believe, I receive, thank God I'm well, and started praising God that he's well. He said, never had heard anybody praise God before, out loud that is. And he said, because he grew up in denominational circles, he said he started praising God, thank God I'm well, hallelujah, thank God I'm well. He started praising God that he was well. And he praised God for a while. And then he said, the Lord spoke to him again. He said, now you believe you're well. He said, I sure do, sure do. And the Lord said, then get up from here. He said, well, people are up at 10 o'clock in the morning. Brother Hagin started getting hold of the bedpost and pulling himself out of the bed. And he said he pushed his legs over the edge of the bed. And they, you know, because his physical body had been paralyzed. And he pushed those feet over the edge of the bed. And he said they hit the, you know, floor like a chunk of concrete, just completely paralyzed. And he said it didn't look like he got anything, but now he's believing that he's got it. Now he's believing that he's healed. And he said he's holding onto the bedpost. And he pulled himself off the bed. And he's hanging onto the bedpost. Said, I want to announce before God before the Lord Jesus Christ, before the Holy Ghost. I want to announce before all the angels. I want to announce before all the devils that I believe I'm well. He started shouting and praising God his way. He said he felt something like honey hit him on the top of the head. And he said it ran down all over his head. And every place it touched, the healing, it was healing anointing. And it drove out the sickness. It drove out the heart condition. It drove out the paralysis. It drove out the blood disease. And he left go of the bedpost, lifted up his hands and stood healed, and was healed ever since. Hallelujah. That was at the age of 16 years old. And he lived to be 86 years old. Hallelujah. Well, completely well. Hallelujah. Why? Because he took that next step. He believed that he received. Amen. Well, thank God for the word. Amen. Now, let me just go through a few more things, and we'll turn this over to Pastor Ike here. You need to, people say they believe the Bible, but they don't believe some other things. Here's some other things. Let's go through a few things before we wrap this up. 2 Corinthians 5:17, it says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. That's the one thing you need to believe. Don't believe you're an old sinner saved by grace. People say, well, I'm just an old sinner saved by grace. Well, that's a contradiction of terms. Which are you? You're an old sinner, or are you saved by grace? I mean, you got to decide what the Bible says and believe the Bible. We're a new creation in Christ. Ephesians 2:10 says we're His workmanship. Believe that. And He doesn't do any shabby work. Amen? Then we read in Romans 5th chapter, the 17th verse, they that received abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Well, that's just the problem, though. I'm not righteous. Well, believe then 2 Corinthians 5:21. We've already, 2 Corinthians 5:21 says that God made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ. That means whenever we were born again, we were made the righteousness of God. God didn't make us sinners. That new birth made us righteous. You need to believe you're the righteousness of God in Christ. I'm convinced that a lot of people don't receive in prayer because their sense of unworthiness, their sense of guilt, their sense of shame, their sense of being dirty and sinful has robbed them of their bold, confident possession of what belongs to them. Because remember, the Bible said that this is the confidence. You have to have confidence in the presence of God. You have to be sure. You have to believe He hears you. You have to believe you're worthy. Hallelujah. Well, that's just the thing. I've missed it so many times. No, you've missed it, but the blood of Jesus, if any man confesses sin, he's faithful. God's faithful and just to forgive us of our sin, cleanse us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. So you're worthy. Again, because of the cleansing of the blood of Jesus that cleanses you from all unrighteousness. So you got to believe that and speak that. Don't let the devil lie to you about that. Because the Bible said if we're going to come boldly to the throne of grace, which the Bible said we can do, that if we're going to obtain at the throne of grace, we have to come boldly. And it's the sense of righteousness that enables you to come boldly. Hallelujah. Then we read in Romans 5:17 again, that they that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, they reign. Notice these are gifts. Righteousness is a gift. Grace is a gift. The gift of righteousness, they reign in life. So if you're the righteousness of God, believe that now I'm reigning in life. Now, amen. And that's something else to believe. Now let's look at another one. Romans 8:32, that we read that He gives us freely all things in Christ. Then we read in Ephesians 1:3, He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Glory to God. Believe that. Stop saying, He's going to bless me. No, He's not going to bless you at all. He's already blessed you. He's already blessed you. So believe and say, He has blessed me. Has is past tense. He has already. Ephesians 1, verse number 3. Hope you're writing these verses down. Then we read over in 1 Corinthians 15:57, something else to believe. The Bible says He gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He always gives us the victory. He gives us the victory all the time through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then 2 Corinthians 2:14. He always causes us to triumph. What you're going through right now, how's it going to turn out? What do you believe about that? Do you believe you're going to go under, or are you going to always triumph? then that's a verse right there you need to grab onto and believe that and say that. Then we could read this, 2 Corinthians 1:20. All the promises of God are in Him, yes and amen. Hallelujah. Believe that. That the answer is yes if you found it in His Word. We kind of mentioned that a while ago. Hallelujah. Then Ephesians 1, get these verses and write these down. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. Write that down. Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 with Ephesians 2, 6. So get those both of those verses there. Put them together. Ephesians 1, 21, or excuse me, 1, 20 and 21 with Ephesians 2, 6. Put those together. And if you read the context and read all the way down through there, you see it's fine to put those two together. But you find in Ephesians 1, 20 and 21 that God has raised Him up far above all principality and power and might and dominion, every name that is named, and so forth and so on. That's Ephesians 1, 20 and 21. Then Ephesians 2, 6 says He's raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places. Now, what's that talking about? That means our new spiritual position as a newborn child of God, as a new creation, is far above where we used to be in the spirit realm. We now are reigning over devils and demons and the forces of darkness. And we're seated far above them. That means, it's another way of saying, they're under our feet. They're under our feet. Amen? And so, through our perfect union with Christ in His death, burial, and resurrection, we have victory over Satan, and we're seated at the right hand of God. Believe that. See, the Word is given to us for believing, for right believing. So believe that. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Then Philippians 4:13, my God shall supply, that's the one that says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Oh, I just can't do that. I don't have the strength. Well, speak that over yourself. Believe that. Amen. Then Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all my need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians 4:19. Then Romans 8:37, I'm almost done. You did it to me today. You made me preach. Romans 8:37. It says, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. Believe that. Don't believe you're a victim. Don't take a victim mentality. Speak constantly, I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me. Hallelujah. And the God Bible said, God be for us, who can be against us? Doesn't matter who comes against us if God be for us. Then Galatians 3, 13 and 14. These are just some things, you know, people go to church and don't have any of this revelation in their services. They hear these things. They hear sort of surface truths in the Bible, and they don't go very deep, and they don't hear these deep, rich Bible truths. And these are the things that give you real victory. Galatians 3, 13 and 14. The Bible says they're talking about Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That's not something that's going to happen tomorrow or next week or whenever somebody prays for you or casts the devil out of your life. That's something you're already redeemed. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. Being made a curse for us, it is written, curse everyone that hangs on the tree. Now what does it say? That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now that we've been redeemed from the curse, and that blessing has come on us. Because Ephesians 1:3 says He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. That includes Abraham's blessing. Praise be to God. Amen. So we need to believe that. Believe that we're blessed. Believe that the blessing has come on us. And so that's something else we want to get in our revelation. Romans 8:17. I know we're going through a lot, but you can go back through this and you can just pause and meditate on these things. And so Romans 8:17, Bible says, we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. 90% of the body of Christ doesn't believe that right there. There's a lot of things that they don't believe they have. Well, Jesus has that, but it says we're heirs together. Jesus was raised far above all the forces of darkness, but we're heirs together of that. We were raised. Amen. Jesus is seated at the right hand of the Father. We're seated at the right hand of the Father. So we're heirs together. These are things you need to have in the revelation. That wherever you go to church, this needs to be part of the revelation of the church you go to. If it's not, your faith is limited. It's got a ceiling on it. Then we see here in Ephesians 1:6, He's accepted us in the Beloved. You need to believe you're accepted. You need to believe that when you come to God, God will accept you and accept your prayer. The Bible said that because our sins are remitted, we have boldness to come before the throne of grace. You need to believe you're accepted in His presence. You're not going to be rejected. He said, "Them that come to me, I will in no wise cast out." You need to have a sense of acceptance that you belong. When you come into the throne of grace, you just walk right in as if you belong there. Amen. And that's what that's talking about, as well as some other things. Then Ephesians 1:11, it says, "We have obtained an inheritance," in Ephesians 1:11. Ephesians 3:12 says, "We have boldness and access with confidence." Praise be to God. Amen. So these are all things that you must believe. There's a lot of other things in the Bible, but we just wanted to give some highlights of some of them this morning, or for you it's evening, and challenge you to examine yourself. The Bible said to do this. Examine yourself to see if you're in faith. You might believe that God can. You might believe that God is able. You might believe that God exists. But what about all these other things that really get you to the point of, there it is, there's my miracle. Amen. And then I'll tell you this, we could just wrap it up by saying this. It's not enough that you believe all those things. Faith comes by hearing all those things, all those verses. Faith comes by hearing that, but faith coming is not enough. You realize just believing it in your heart is not even enough. The Bible said the devils believe certain things and they tremble. But see, faith coming doesn't make faith work. You understand what I mean? I mean, it doesn't work just because it came. It works because you act on it and express it. You do something with what you believe. If you're certain of something, step out on that truth. Act as if it's so. Amen. I don't know if you over there in Nigeria have ever seen maybe movies or something, some guy. They do it in the circus here. I don't know if you've got things like the circus. Some guy, he walks the tightrope, you know. He's got a rope that's tied between two buildings, and it's real tight. And he steps out on that rope, and he walks across that rope from one building to the other. And he's balancing himself, you know, just got that little rope to walk on. And then he gets a wheelbarrow, and he walks across it with a wheelbarrow, you know. And then he says to the crowd, "Anybody here believe that I can put somebody in this wheelbarrow and walk across with this wheelbarrow?" Yeah, I believe you can do it. Okay, he says, "How about you right there in the crowd? You get in this wheelbarrow." Oh, no. Why is he all of a sudden not willing to act on it? Oh, he said he was sure, but his actions show he's not sure. He's not certain that man won't fall. Isn't that right? Well, see, that's a man. He could fail. We understand man can fail. But what about God? He can't fail. When He said something, it's certain. And you can step out in it. You can get in the wheelbarrow, so to speak. You know what I'm talking about? And I mean, He'll get you to the other side. Praise God. So faith is not enough in the heart. Faith has got to be acted upon. People mistake the hearing of faith for being in faith. And wonder why nothing is happening. But that's not the spirit of faith. That's just the heart of faith. That's not an attitude that steps out and does something and acts on it. Faith has got to flow two directions. Faith has to flow two directions. It comes to you by hearing the Word. But it has to go from you by expressions, by words, and actions. The difference between faith just coming as opposed to faith coming and going is like the difference between you sitting in the living room, your house, and watching television. The difference between that and doing something on the internet. The television only sends a signal to you, and you can't send a signal back to them. But the internet, there's a signal that can come to you, and then you can send a signal back to someone else. See, whenever that signal on the television comes to you, it's influencing you. It's affecting what you think, what you believe, so forth and so on. Good or bad, you know, natural or spiritual, whatever. And that's just a one-way thing. But whenever it comes to the internet, that flows from you to somebody else and influences them. See, your faith has to flow from God to you and then from you towards your circumstances. When faith flows to you, it comes by hearing. And that influences you. Whenever you act on faith, you express your faith, it flows from you and influences your world. You can frame your world with it. You understand? And so you can direct your world. You can change things in this natural world around you because you got it from God, it came into your spirit, and it built a confidence, and you acted on it. Now it's changing things around you in your world. Amen? So we as preachers, we've got to preach on this, expressing it even more than we have to preach on it coming. Because if people have it come and they don't express it, they're no better off, you know, than the Bible says the devils believe and tremble. I keep bringing that up. It has to be from to you and from you. Amen. It's not enough just for faith to come to you. And so James, the Bible says that we have the spirit of faith. We believe, that's good, but we also speak. You don't have a spirit of faith just because you believe. You have a spirit of faith because you act on it and speak it. Praise the Lord. Jesus said, and I'm closing, I'm wrapping this up. I'm just stirred up today. You got me going. You're the reason for this. Pastor Ike's there. He's shouting and praising God. So he's the one that got me going. But the Bible said in Luke 8:25, Jesus made this statement because they were going across, remember, the sea, and the storm came up. And they woke him and said, "Don't you care that we perish?" He rebuked the storm and said, "Where is your faith?" That's a question. Jesus is asking you a question today, and he wants you to answer it right where you're sitting. Where is your faith? Well, Jesus, it's right here in my heart. Well, that's the beginning, but that's not going to change anything in your world. Where is your faith? As New Testament believers, we've been given the measure of faith, and we can develop it on God's Word and become sure in all these different areas, but that's not going to be good enough. Amen. We have to have faith in our heart, but it can't. We can stay sick with faith in our heart. We can stay broke. We can stay defeated. We can stay bound. We can stay tormented in our minds with faith in our heart. Isn't that right? People believe in divine healing. They believe in these things that God can do and so forth. But no real change happens until they get that faith out of their heart and start acting as if the Word of God is true. You understand what I'm talking about? They have to express it. And so really what God's able to do for you is dependent according to the faith you release, not just the faith you have. You understand? The faith you have is the first step, but you've got to get it out of your heart into the circumstances of life. It's a little like a man could starve to death with a bank account full of money that he could use to go buy food with. But if he has all that money and doesn't put it into circulation, it'll do him no good. And the same thing is true with your faith. You got to get it out of your heart and put it into circulation, or it'll do you no good. Amen? A lot of people hear the Word, but they stop short of doing anything with it. So God wants us to have a heart of faith, but that's not... Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say, or nowhere in the Bible are we taught, that just a heart of faith will do anything. You can't move mountains with the faith in your heart. Jesus didn't say, believe that this mountain will move. No, he said, whosoever shall say, be thou removed. It moves because you said, not because you believe. Now, you have to believe also, but you have to get it out of your heart into the circumstance. Amen. It's not your believing that moves the mountain. It's your saying that is based on what you believe. Are you understanding what I'm talking about? And so you have to believe it in your heart. And that's what God's trying to get across to a lot of us. And we need to teach on not just having faith, but releasing faith. Jesus is talking there in Mark 11:22 about having faith. But the very next thing he said was, and say. So he's not just talking about having it, but saying it. Whosoever shall say. He didn't say that faith in the heart can move anything. In fact, faith can't move anything from your heart. It moves it when it gets out of your heart and starts getting into circulation. Praise God. When you and I release faith, it releases a force in the spirit realm that moves things. It'll cause things to get out of the way. It'll cause things to come. It'll cause blessings to manifest. Hallelujah. And that force comes out of man's heart. It's got to first come out, be in man's heart, but it's got to come through his mouth and his actions into his world around him to influence his world and cause things to change. Amen. If you have faith and say, nothing will be impossible to you, the Bible says. Amen. We're not talking about something coming out of your mind. The forces of the spirit realm don't come out of your mind. They come out of your spirit through the Word of God being planted there. We're talking about releasing something out of your spirit. And see, when a man builds up this certainty in his spirit through feeding on the Word of God, it causes that force in his spirit to be built up and the power of God in that faith to be built up. But unless he releases that out into his world by speaking and acting, that force is going to stay bottled up on the inside of him. And you can have a greater degree in force and punch of faith. Your faith can come out with more force, and it's through feeding it on God's Word. Amen. There's a lot of things that are slow in leaving people's lives sometimes, but only because the Word hasn't built up that faith and that certainty in there so that whenever they speak, that it's releasing much force. It's just a little weak, you know, a force against it. It'll leave because it works. Faith always works, but it might take more time. You understand? But so we've got to continue to feed our faith to where it comes out with great force. Hallelujah. But whatever faith you do have, release it. Just start releasing it. Amen. And it'll start working, but just keep on feeding it and keep it working. People used to do, they used to wait on God to do something. Whenever we're talking about you stepping out and starting releasing the power of God, rather than sitting around waiting, singing kumbaya, Lord, do something for me. No, you do something. People used to tarry for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and generally nothing happened until they released faith. Amen? And that's the reason a lot of Christians, although they're sincere, they're weak, is because they haven't dared stepping out, believing all these things we just said. You know, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. They haven't dared believe that yet. They haven't dared speak that yet. Always triumphing in Christ. They haven't dared believe that and speak that yet. You understand? But whenever you and I who've heard the Bible dare to confess it, dare to mix faith with it, that faith that has been throttled and built up on the inside, it's there, but it's been throttled because it hasn't been acted upon, that faith will be released and go into the bondage or whatever is trying to come against us and destroy the yoke. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And as we do that, keep feeding our faith, keep acting on our faith grows, our faith is becoming to a larger degree, and that measure we have begins to grow, and we begin to become stalwart for God. Amen.